The mattress globbered. This is the noise made by a live swamp-dwelling mattress that is deeply moved by a story of personal tragedy. The word can also, according to the ultra-complete Maxim Megalon Dictionary of Every Language Ever, mean the noise made by the Lord High Sandvilwag of Hollop on discovering that he has forgotten his wife's birthday for the second year running. Since there was only ever one Lord High Sandvilwag of Hollop, and he never married, the word is only ever used in a negative or speculative sense, and there is an ever-increasing body of opinion which holds that the ultra-complete Maxim Megalon Dictionary is not worth the fleet of lorries it takes to cart its micro-stored edition around in. Strangely enough, the dictionary omits the word floopily, which simply means in the manner of something which is floopy. The mattress globbered again.
"I sense a deep dejectedness in your diodes," it volued.
For the meaning of the word volue, buy a copy of Squamshella Swamp Talk at any remaindered bookshop, or alternatively buy the ultra-complete Maximegalon Dictionary, as the university will be very glad to get it off their hands and regain some valuable parking lots.
"And it saddens me. You should be more mattress-like. We live quiet, retired lives in the swamp, where we are content to flollop and volue and regard the wetness in a fairly floopy manner. Some of us are killed, but all of us are called Zem, so we never know which, and globbering is thus kept to a minimum. Why are you walking in circles?"
"Because my leg is stuck," said Marvin simply.
"It seems to me," said the mattress, eyeing it compassionately, "that it is a pretty poor sort of leg."
"You are right," said Marvin. "It is."
"Voon,"
said the mattress.
"I expect so," said Marvin. "And I also expect that you find the idea of a robot with an artificial leg pretty amusing. You should tell your friends Zem and Zem when you see them later. They'll laugh if I know them, which I don't, of course, except insofar as I know all organic life forms, which is much better than I would wish to. Ha ha. But my life is but a box of worm gears."
He stomped around again in his tiny circle around his thin steel peg leg, which revolved in the mud but seemed otherwise stuck.
But why do you just keep walking round and round?" said the mattress.
"Just to make the point," said Marvin, and continued round and round.
"Consider it made, my dear friend,"
flurbled the mattress.
"Consider it made."
"Just another million years," said Marvin. "Just another quick million. Then I might try it backwards, just for the variety, you understand."
The mattress could feel deep in his innermost spring pockets that the robot dearly wished to be asked how long he had been trudging in this futile and fruitless manner, and with another quiet flurble he did so.
"Oh, just over the 1.5 million mark. Just over," said Marvin airily. "Ask me if I ever get bored. Go on, ask me."
The mattress did. Marvin ignored the question. He merely trudged with added emphasis.
"I gave a speech once," he said suddenly and apparently unconnectedly. "You may not instantly see why I bring the subject up, but that is because my mind works so phenomenally fast and I am, at a rough estimate, 30 billion times more intelligent than you. Let me give you an example. Think of a number. Any number."
"Five,"
said the mattress.
"Wrong," said Marvin. "You see?"
The mattress was much impressed by this and realised that it was in the presence of a not unremarkable mind. It willowmied along its entire length, sending excited little ripples through its shallow, algae-covered pool. It gupped.
"Tell me," it urged, "of the speech you once made. I long to hear it."
"It was received very badly," said Marvin, "for a variety of reasons. I delivered it," he added, pausing to make an awkward humping sort of gesture with his not exactly good arm, but his arm which was better than the other one, which was dishearteningly welded to his left side. "Over there, about a mile distance." "There," he repeated. "I was somewhat of a celebrity at the time."